Namaste. We'll just wait another minute before we start chanting the Dhyana Shlokas. I'll switch on the webcam after the Dhyana Shlokas. आर्ताय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगव गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यास विशाल बुद्धे पुल्लारविन्दाय तपस्त्रनेत्र एन त्वया भारत तैल पूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीपः प्रपन्न पारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपानये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्स सुदीर्भोक्तां दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंस चानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दम् कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामविकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्णा खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकेशवः पाराशर्यवचस्तरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्तोत्कटं नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोके सज्जन षट्पदैरहरः पेपीयमानम् मुदा भूयाद्भारत पङ्कजम् कलिमल प्रध्वंसि न श्रीयसे मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः सुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं कामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः. Okay, can you hear me? Malini, can you tell me if you are able to hear me? I think you are self-muted, Malini.
Yes, can
you hear me? You can see the screen?
Yeah.
And the webcam?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. सदाशिव समारंभां शंकराचार्य मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तां वंदे गुरु परंपरा. ओम So we started the third chapter about 2 weeks back, and it began with the introductory portion wherein Lord Krishna is resolving a doubt of Arjuna. From verses 1 to 7 we have seen, and Arjuna's doubt is based on the teaching given in the second chapter, where Lord Krishna had talked about two important spiritual sadhanas, namely Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. So even though Krishna has clearly explained both, Arjuna thinks that Krishna has given more importance to Jnana Yoga. One of the primary reasons being that starting from verse 11, the first portion was related to Jnana Yoga, where Krishna started with Ashoshyanan Vashochatvam Prajna Vadamsha Bhashate. That was the 11th verse of the second chapter, right? And he also said that people with spiritual knowledge will cross over the sorrow of samsara, right? And then Krishna elaborately dealt with Jnana Yoga followed by Karma Yoga. He also spoke about Sita Prajna Lakshanani, and finally he said Jnana Yoga is all of this, it's great and all that, and then said, Arjuna, you must follow Karma Yoga and you must fight the war. So it was quite natural that Arjuna got into a little bit of a confusion, and he was very careful when he asked Krishna to explain, saying that maybe I have a confusion, right? He is not saying that anything is wrong with the teacher. He says, maybe I have a confusion, so would you be able to help me understand better? So that is how the third chapter started. So in the first 7 verses, we had this introductory portion, right? And then we were we had entered the 8th verse, right? Where Krishna is entering the heart of the principles of Karma Yoga, right? And where I ended was that we have got two types of actions. One is what I have to do, and second is what I want to do. Karma Yogi is one who understands his responsibilities as an adult, mature citizen of the world, and thereafter he always focuses on what he has to do more than what he wants to do. Once I understand my duties and responsibilities as an enlightened human being, the Veda tells me that you do have responsibilities towards the cosmic infrastructure, both at the micro level and the macro level, right? So we were seeing this particular verse 3:8, which we entered in the last class, which was Niyatam Kuru Karmatvam, Karma Jyayo Hyakarmanaha, Shadira Yatrapi Chatena, Prasiddhyeda Karmanaha. Right? So, perform the obligatory action, for action is superior to inaction. This is because we saw a lot in the earlier verses about how a person cannot keep quiet, right? He needs to do something or the other based on the Triguna that is there, that is Sattva, Rajo and Tamoguna, right? And Lord Krishna talked about obligatory duties. Today I am going to spend a little bit of time, extra time on what are the obligatory duties and what is the Shastra prescribing as obligatory duties or Vishesha Dharmani, right? So we are going to see some details about it, right? And very important, Bhagwan tries to actually tell us that we must do this, you know, it is nice to do this, he uses all that, but also the Veda simultaneously says that if you do not do your duties, like you have penalty, you will incur something called Pratyavaya Papam, right? So that is a very important message that the scriptures give us, right? And in fact, there is a particular example that is cited. It says, now it is equally applicable to husband or wife. It says that if there is a wife, in those days there was completely dependent wife, and if the husband does not treat the wife properly and sort of, you know, abandons her, etc., and causes problems and ill-treats her, etc., for the next 7 janmas, he will be born as a lady and he will become a young widow in 7 janmas and suffer. So this is an example. Now the reason why Shastra gives these examples is to inculcate a sense of duty which we would do normally, but also have a penalty if you do not do those duties, right? So this is in one example. Now in our modern days we have to interpret things differently, but Pratyavaya Papam is definitely a papam, that is if you avoid or omit a duty, right? Now we saw obligatory duties. I spent a lot of time on towards our body and mind. The most important takeaway here is just because we are involved in work or even in Vedanta pursuit or anything for that matter, we cannot neglect proper food at proper time, exercise, sleep, healthy activity, etc. The Shastras are themselves focusing on this. And that is why if you see our Shastras have prescribed some fasts like Ekadashi Vratam. Now some people go without food, some people go with one time food, some people do Nirjala Ekadashi, they don't even have water. Some will start slow and then move to that. Some people will not speak, they will go through Maunavirdam, etc. Right? So that is towards our body and mind to have bring about discipline. We also saw about the discipline, duties towards the family, society, as well as the environment, right? Very important. And these are called Niyata Karma, also known as Vihita Karma, obligatory duties. One is supposed to do all of them, right? As per the ashrama. Now, in the earlier days, we had ashrama as well as varnas, right? And as per the ashrama and the varna to which a person belongs, now if you want to know more details about the varnashrama dharma, you can go to Introduction to Vedanta and actually listen to 2 sessions which we have covered in detail, right? Ashramas are of course Brahmacharya ashrama, Grihastha ashrama, Vanaprastha ashrama and Sanyasa ashrama, and then the 4 varnas. Now as per that, certain duties were prescribed and we were supposed to discharge them. Now these duties itself can be seen from another angle based on the category that it addresses, right? So we call it Pancha Maha Yajnas, right? So the obligatory duties in today's context is more relevant when we study it on the basis of Pancha Maha Yajnas. All of them are termed Para Upakara Karmani, Paropakara Karmani, service to one form, one group or the other, right? And the scriptures actually help us in identifying the Paropakara Karmani and they present it as Pancha Maha Yajnaha, right? the fivefold yajnas. It's very difficult to translate the word yajnaha, right? So we will just stick with panchamaha yajnaha, the five different yajnas, right? Now, the first panchamaha yajna is termed deva yajnaha, right? The first yajna is deva yajnaha. I just stand in front of the Lord in any form that I would like the Lord to be. It can be my Ishta Devata, or if you are a more evolved soul, it can just be in the form of nature, or it can just be Arupa Ishvara also. And from the bottom of my heart, I utter a prayer, right? And what is a better prayer is to pray for the whole world rather than one's own self, right? And right through the scripture insists on Nishkama Bhakti, right? Instead of Sakama Bhakti or asking something for yourself, it says ask for the whole humanity. A very famous shloka here, which is really worth in the mornings to include in our daily prayer, is Swasti Prajapya Paripalayantam Jnanena Margena Mahim Mahishaha Go Brahman Ebhya Shubhamastu Nityam Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu, right? So a sincere, heartfelt and deep prayer is the most powerful contribution, which will help in not only the entire humanity but also the animals, plants, and also which goes beyond the terrestrial plane. This particular shloka, it goes to 14 lokas also, right? And the other prayer which we normally, you know, we hear priests chant and we also chant is Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Badrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschit Dukkha Bhagbhavet. These two prayers are worth including in our everyday daily prayers, right? Because these will promote Nishkama Bhakti, right? So that we ask for the well-being of the whole world rather than only us or our family. And these prayers can be in any language, right? It is not required that it has to be only in Sanskrit. It can be towards any god or it can be towards Arupa Ishvara also. We will be seeing about all these different forms of Ishvara as we move into Bhakti Yoga chapters. So the first one is Deva Yajnaha. The second one is Pitra Yajnaha, right? Expressing gratitude to all the ancestors, right? And looking after parents while they are living, and performance of ceremonies, right? Like the Antyeshti, then the Kashi Rameshwara, you know, the pilgrimage, Gaya Shraddham, etc., right? Now, many people ask, what is the point of doing, you know, Pitru Karma, right? Anyway, it doesn't go to the ancestors, etc. The Shastra is very clear about it. It says, no, Agni is a courier as per Shastra, and it is something like the Prime Minister's Relief Fund. Swamiji says there is something like the Ancestors' Relief Fund, right? Literally. So, the Agni as a courier will take these and contribute, and that will be distributed as per the need into different Pitras. So, this is what the Shastra believes, and in fact, during our Tarpanam that we do for Amavas, etc., there is a particular shloka where we say, Esham na pita na brata na bandhu nanyag gotrinaha, te sarve tripti mayantu maya chittehi kushastilaihi. Where we offer offerings, the water and the tila, right, to all the people, you know, my parents, my brothers, my unknown relatives, other gotras, people, whoever it is, right? And we offer the offerings. Similarly, if you see in Gaya, right, it's a very beautiful shraddham that one does. You will not see any particular caste or community in Gaya. You will see people from all caste communities, any Hindu, right? Because it is applicable for everybody. You will see them offering their offerings to the ancestors. And the beauty of Gaya shraddham is they have these extra pindams, right? Even for the animals who have been our pets and who have passed away, it could have been some, you know, maybe cows, it could have been cats, it could have also been some maids, drivers, somebody who helped us, or somebody who looked after us in childhood, or somebody who looked after our children, or it could be neighbors, or some relatives in our family circle without children, they give you extra pindam, right, made out of rice. So actually pray, think about them and offer, right, as part of Daya Shadam. When we understand and appreciate the beauty of what Hindu religion stands for, we are able to, you know, have more reverence towards what our Shastras have to offer us. So this is Pitru Yajnaha, which is the second Panchay Maha Yajnaha. Now the third one is Brahma Yajnaha, right? Here it is the gratitude to all the rishis who have given us the beautiful Vedas and other secondary scriptures, right? Brahma here means Veda, Brahma Yajna means Veda Yajnaha, in which I worship both the scriptures and the authors of the scriptures and the Guru Parampara, right? And the rishis, they are all such evolved souls. They don't need anything. They have only one intention, right? Their objective was just one, which is making sure that the wonderful scriptures are maintained and transmitted generation after generation, preservation and propagation of the wonderful teaching. And the Veda Gosha, the loud chanting, right, that we do if we have Veda Parayanam in the house or wherever we can contribute, that itself purifies the creation, the beautiful vibrations that come out of it, right? There are various types of Veda Parayanam that we can get involved in, right? And the second type of Yajna is teaching, right? Teaching of the spiritual content. So, Adhyayanam and Adhyapanam, right? And systematic teaching in the form of classes, right? So, there is a proper development. Now, there is a difference between preaching and teaching. In the case of preaching, you just give stray ideas. Now, one class, they don't even call it a class. One talk may or may not be related to the other talk. But in a teaching, we gradually build on ideas and make sure that it is done in a systematic manner. From one class to another class, you sort of go on building. So that if you have attended, say, some 4 or 5 years of, say, scriptural teaching classes like Gita, Upanishads, etc., you would have understood it in a very organized manner, right? So, it is very, very important to both preserve as well as continue to teach the Vedas and the subsidiary scriptures so that our younger generation will come to know of it. And Vidyadhanam Sarvadhana Pradhanam, most important to give this knowledge to others, right? And Krishna in Gita, at the end of Gita, right, very end, emphatically says, whoever teaches Bhagavad Gita, I just love that person the most, right? And they really like, Krishna has emphasized not only teaching, but listening also. And in Gita Mahatmyam Shlokam, we will actually be seeing that, right? That even one verse per day, if you tell, you will get a Manushya Janma, right? That is what has been told by the God and the scriptures, right? So the third one is Brahma Yajnaha. The fourth one is Manushya Yajnaha. The fourth Yajna, Manushya Yajnaha, is all forms of social service which will come under this, like running orphanages, helping old people, right, who do not have any help at all, building schools, right, hospitals, teaching people, teaching the downtrodden, right? So, only problem these days is that there is a misconception amongst the younger generation that this alone is sufficient and the other yajnas are not enough. That is not true. This is also one of the 5 yajnas. We have to take care of all the 5 aspects. This is what our shastras say, right? Now, the fifth yajna that we are going to see is Bhuta Yajnaha. Now today there is a lot of awareness around Bhuta Yajnaha, all forms of contribution to other creations, trees, rivers, animals, birds, basically our environment, right? Because upsetting the balance of any of the environment related factors causes a problem. In fact, our Shastram used to have such beautiful prayers which we have even forgotten now. In fact, Kalidasa said this Mangala Shlokam is attributed to Kalidasa. He says, Ashvatto Vata Vriksha Chandanataru Mandara Kalpadrumau Jambu Nimba Kadamba Chuta Saralaha Vrikshascha Ek Shirinaha சர்வே தே பல சம்யுதாக பிரதிதினம் விப்ராஜமானாக சுவாக ரம்யம் சைத்ர ரதம் ச நந்தனவனம் குர்வந்து நோ மங்களம். பியூட்டிஃபுல் பிரேயர் சேயிங் லெட் த பீப்பிள் ட்ரீ, ஃபிக் ட்ரீ, சாண்டில்வுட் ட்ரீ, ரைட், த ஃபிளவரிங் ட்ரீஸ், ஜாமுன், மீன், கதம்பா, மேங்கோ அண்ட் பைன் ட்ரீ, லெட் தெம் ஆல் பி அடோன்ட் வித் ஃப்ரூட்ஸ் அண்ட் ஸ்பார்க்கிள் டெய்லி. லெட் த பிரிட்டி forest and garden, the Nandana garden and all of them do all what is good to us, right? So they revered the environment, right? We had forgotten this in between. Now I think with a lot of focus on environment, we are again regaining this consciousness around this. Now the other prayer is on rivers. We have polluted all the waters, but the prayer goes like Ganga, Sindhu, Saraswati, Yamuna, Godavari, Narmada, காவேரி கரையூர் மகேந்திர தனையா கர்மன்வதி வேதிகா சிப்ரா வேத்ரவதி மகாசுரநதி சாத்தாச்சயா கண்டகி பூர்ணா பூர்ணஜலாக சமுத்திர சகிதாக குர்வந்து நோ மங்களம். த சேம் மங்கள ஸ்லோகம் கண்டினியூஸ் சேயிங் லெட் த ரிவர்ஸ் கேஞ்சஸ் இண்டஸ் சரஸ்வதி யமுனா ஆல் ஆஃப் தெம் மே தே பி ஃபில்ட் வித் வாட்டர் அலாங் வித் த ஓஷன் அண்ட் லெட் தெம் ஆல் டூ குட் டு அஸ். From the river, the top of India to Purna, the river in Kerala, all the rivers I remember for their contribution. May I do everything to protect the river and let me not at least pollute and destroy them, right? So now we actually have more greater awareness, and also most of our prayers, if you see, it offers prayers to planets, to our environment, etc., right? So only thing is now we have a improved awareness. So these five, right, are all part of Pancha Mahayajna, and as part of Bhuta Yajna, if you remember, I'm sure in some houses you're still following, we always keep a little bit of rice after cooking in the morning for the crow to come and eat. We also use rice flour to put the rangoli outside the house so that, you know, we can feed the small insects and others so that they can also eat something. We used to do all of this. Now we've forgotten, but with this kind of knowledge, we can actually revive these things. So all these five put together are the Pancha Mahayajnaha. So we saw Deva Yajnaha, Pitru Yajnaha, Brahma Yajnaha, Manushya Yajnaha, and Bhuta Yajnaha. So when Krishna talks about Karma Yoga, he is talking about Vishesha Karmani, the obligatory duties as prescribed in the Shastras, which come under the five categories, Pancha Maha Yajna, right? So, coming back to the verse, the first principle was, a Karma Yogi is one who understands his responsibilities and focuses on what he has to do more than what he wants to do, right? That's what we saw in verse 8. Okay, so now there is another important principle, the next one, the second one. Whatever actions we are involved in, right, whether it is what I have to do or what I want to do, all the actions are bound to produce some consequences or the other, right? So basically you can use what I have to do as a synonym for Pancha Mahayajna, right? What I want to do as rest of the duties that we have plus our own work, right? Now here, what Krishna wants to say is, both kinds of karma will have consequences, right? And we have the free will over the action, where I can contribute to the action, but I don't have a control over the consequence. It is determined not only by the quality of my effort, the consequences are determined by so many known and unknown factors. So let us see this verse. You can chant after me. Yajñārtha karmanon yatra, yajñārtha karmanon yatra, lokoyam karma bandhanah, lokoyam karma bandhanah, tadartham karma kaunteya, tadartham karma kaunteya, mukta sangha samachara, Muktasangasthamachar. Okay? So, it is very important to understand the importance of this shloka. Right? So, the meaning of this world is bound by actions. And in the case of any action other than the action meant for yajna, right? Both cases. Perform action for that sake without attachment for the result. Right? So basically this is trying to tell you that you have free will to contribute. Your effort can influence the outcome, but there are certain unknown factors which is determined by the law of karma. But you must put in your free will and put in your effort to influence. And when you are putting in your effort, do it with full involvement and good attitude, right? As if you are doing a puja. That is what Krishna is going to talk about, right? So, now prayers when we do, right, to improve the possibility of success, we must remember that karma can produce a punyam, right? Now this punyam can enhance the benefit of the karma. Therefore, the chances of success is high. Definitely we accept that, right? But it can only enhance the possibility. It can never guarantee the success, right? There is a possibility of a failure. So therefore, whenever we pray, we require two types of prayers, right? One prayer I perform for success, right? I have to necessarily do another prayer along with this. What is that? First prayer is Sakama Prarthana. Okay? Second is Nishkama Prarthana. First is I want success, but I should have the courage to confront possible failure also. Right? So the Nishkama Karma also becomes an integral part of the Karma Yoga. Now, when I pray, if I do not pray the second part also, give me the courage to accept whatever results I get, I am going to have a problem or deeper samsara, right? So, if I have not raised my level of courage, right, mental preparedness to welcome unfavorable situations, I am going to have more anxiety, right? And greater the courage or mental preparedness, I am going to have less anxiety, right? So, Nishkama Prarthana is very, very important. Nishkama Prarthana to the God is in the form of give me the mental strength to accept whatever result I get as Ishwara Prasadaha. Right? So, this is a very, very important verse from that angle. Right? So, whatever action I am doing, whether it is the Vishesha Karma Yoga or it is your normal Samanya Karmani, this becomes very, very important, right? So, I will perform everything with reverential commitment, right? That I will do because I am going to treat it as Ishwara Arpanam. Ishwara Arpana Bhavana is very, very important, whatever we do. Because if we treat it as a puja, we will do it neater, we will take more care, right? Even our normal work life, right? So, Swamiji often gives the example of Swami Chinmayananda, who used to, I believe, take so much care in even pasting a small stamp on an envelope. He will not allow to paste it anyway and he will not use his tongue and all. He is so careful about how he would even paste that, right? So it shows that if you treat any karma as offering to the Lord, we will be looking at it with a reverential attitude, right? Similarly, there is another bigger benefit. The consequences of the karma or the karma phalam, right? When it is converted to the yajna, you take it as Ishwara Prasada, right? So, once the attitude is that karma is yajna, then whatever be the consequences, favorable or unfavorable, I take it as yajna prasada, right? And once I look upon a prasada, I will not complain about fairness and unfairness, right? So, you remember we spoke about FIR reduction, right? Frequency of emotional disturbances, intensity and recovery period after a disturbance, emotional disturbance. As years progress and we practice these principles and Ishwara Prasada Bhavana and Ishwara Arpana Bhavana, slowly we can see the FIR getting reduced. Very, very important verse from that angle. And ride is something, ride is a principle that we saw, right? This basically talks about the same thing, how you dedicate all activities as a worship to God. I just wanted to bring it up now so that you can see the connection with D and E. And E experienced all the results as prasada coming from the Lord, right? So we saw that, right? Because even Krishna, if you see in Gita, in Mahabharata, before the war started, he tried to avoid the war by actually being a messenger, right? And went and talked to Duryodhana and negotiated, right? Saying, you give this, you give one village, otherwise give one home, all of that, everything failed. So even it shows that somebody like God's avatara is only able to do so much, right? Beyond that, the law of karma unfolds, right? So Ishwararpana Bhavana and Prasada Bhavana, both are very, very important. And when we dedicate actions to the Lord, our stress levels come down, right? Which is, and in, I think in today's context, the business and professional work life, if we can follow this, a lot of our stress will also come down, because we can only do this much. Beyond that, there are other forces that are working, right? Very important. And I also feel that as grihasthas, when we go through our life, right, after marriage, the children come, starting from then, right, if you trace the life cycle, right, of our growing up, etc., from bringing up the children, lot of stress in childhood. They know they feel unwell, some disease suddenly hits them, those happen. Then suddenly adolescence is another bigger issue that we deal with, right, in grihastha ashrama. Then after that, their education, their college, and then their life partners. That is another major stress and worry. And then after that, whether they are... So right through every life cycle phase, as a grihastha, we face a lot of obstacles, tension, right? Whether it's family, whether it is profession, we have these kind of issues. So if we can practice the principles of karma yoga, it helps us to a large extent facing the ups and downs in life, right? So the second principle is convert work itself into a worship through Ishwararpana Bhavana and Ishwara Prasada Bhavana, right? Very, very important. But we must always remember that every karma is like, it's like a law, right? The physics law is processed by the universal law and returns as phalam. And the universal law not only takes in our effort, it also takes in the prarabdha karma's maturity at that particular time. How it matures, how it impacts. So it is a resultant force that is acting. Only thing is, part of it is not seen by us. It is adrishta phalam. That we must remember, right? Moving on to the 10th verse.
Sahayajna praja srishtva Purovacha prajapatihi Anena prasavishyadvam Esha vostishta kamadukha Esha vostishta kamadukha.
This is again a very, very important principle coming up now, right? Now, I will talk about the principle at the end of it. Now, everyone is naturally interested in one's own well-being, right? In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, you can see a verse, Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. Only for their own self, they like their wife, they like their son, they like their daughter. It is for one's own self. It is very shocking when you see the Upanishad statement, but that is true, right? So there is a narrow-minded selfishness and there is a broad-minded selfishness, right? You might have understood now where I am heading, right? When I am doing my discharging my responsibility and duty, we can have a narrow-minded selfishness where I get some immediate benefits, right? And you know, I can get into some shortcuts in office, or you know, you want to get some approval done, you can do something out of the way and get the benefit immediately. That is a narrow-minded, immediate focus benefit. Otherwise, you can look at long-term impact and benefits so that, you know, our environment and whatever is around us benefits. Now, Bhagavan says that the long-term benefit, right, or the broad-minded benefit where people and whatever we saw in the Panchamahayagya, that is benefited, that is broad-minded selfishness. Why is it selfish to some extent? Because if you take care of the environment will take care of you, right? If you take care of your parents, your ancestors, your children will take care of you. That is a hope, right? Similarly, environment, etc. So, this is enlightened selfishness, right? So, not only the world will benefit through Karma Yoga, in the end, every single person will benefit. So, prosperity, even if it's a material one, it is a consequence of Karma Yoga, right? So, Prajaha Srishtva, Bhagavan created the universe and the human beings, okay? Then, Bhagavan was worried after the creation of humanity. What did they say? Until the humans came, the animals were all in harmony. The rivers, plants, everything was okay, right? But after the arrival of the human beings, we had the imbalance and everything coming in, right? So, Bhagavan not only gave us this beautiful world, but he also gave us the Vedas, right? Now, what happens? You go and buy a mixie or you go and buy some instruments. There is a manual that comes with it, right? Now, do you ever switch on anything without opening the manual? Especially if you don't know and this is the first time you are using it, you will open the manual, read it, and then you will see how to handle that particular machine or whatever. So, Bhagavan has given a manual. What is that manual? It is the Vedas, right? Therefore, we compare the Vedas to the manual that is given along with any gadget we purchase, right? And first instruction is never use the gadget without reading a manual, right? Even using a wrong plug can destroy it. But do we read the Vedas before we use the human beings? We don't do it. At least at some point in time, we must get exposed to this, right? Very, very important. And at this juncture, I thought I should bring up a very nice and profound Tamil folk song. Okay, I don't know how many of you know know Tamil to appreciate it, but it is very beautiful, so I thought, you know, I must bring it up at this stage, right? So, it's a very, very profound Tamil folk song. It's called, it goes this way. Nandavanathil orandi avan nalaru madamai kuyavanai vendi kondu vandhan oru thondi மெத்த கூத்தாடி கூத்தாடி போட்டுடை தாண்டி நந்தவனத்தில் ஓராண்டி. Now this is a very, very profound Tamil song, okay? At the first glance, when you try and understand the meaning of this, right, is that there was a potter, there was a aunty is a very, very poor person and he also has a hopefully a bald head, right? So he was going on begging for it for 10 months and then he got a beautiful pot and then he put the pot on his shaven head, right? And he did not know how to balance it on his head. He kept it on his head and jumped up and down, right? And he destroyed the pot. This is the literal meaning, right? Now, this is a very, very profound verse, right? What this indicates is the human body itself, right, is made up of very fine clay, panchabhutam, right? Panchabhautikam, right? So, and we don't know how to handle the physical body. Why do we say that? We have actually taken years of, they say that manushya avataram is a very, very rare avataram, right? So, that is the 10 months of being in the womb plus several janmas of punyam has made you come to manushya janma. And after all that, what do? We spoil our body by, you know, stress, our food, lack of exercise, smoking, drinking, various things, right? And that is kutadi kutadi. So, we spoil the physical body, which is a fantastic equipment, right? And instead of focusing on dharmartha kama moksha, we abuse and destroy it, right? And though we have a manual from the manufacturer, that is the God, right, the Veda, and we have a way of life, which is the Karma Yoga way of life, we waste away the life. That is the meaning of this extremely profound Tamil folk song. Right? Very, very important verse. Right? So, therefore, Arjuna, carefully you should learn and follow. It is not for the benefit of the other person, but it is for your own good. Right? That you should follow Samanya Dharma as well as Vishesha Dharma, and you should have this attitude, right, of Ishwararpana Bhava and Ishwara Prasada Bhava. And also we were talking about how it is important to have the enlightened selfishness rather than have a narrow-minded selfishness, right? Very, very important. And here we were talking about that when I thought, I should talk about the manual and the Veda. So the manual is in the form of Veda, right? And in order to enjoy a stress-free life, we should be prepared for a unfavorable future also, right? Very, very important. And we also said that we need to make sure that we contribute to the environment in the form of Panchamaha Yajna, as in which we have Bhuta Yajna, right? So, having created the human beings, the meaning of this particular verse is, having created the human beings along with the Yajna, in the beginning of creation, the Creator said, may you prosper by this, right? May this be the source of desired objects for you, right? What does this mean? This whole world I have created, right? I have created you, I have created the world, I have created the manual in the form of Vedanta, I have given you Dharmartha Moksha, Dharmartha Kama Moksha, all four Purusharthas, for you to gradually get mature and come to Moksha with all of this infrastructure that I have provided for you, right? So therefore, Arjuna, carefully learn and follow, right? It is not for the benefit of the other person that I am asking you to do all of this. For your own good also, I am asking you to follow both Samanya Karma Yoga and Vishesha Karma Yoga, right? And every action I do consciously. Maintaining, whether it is a small or big action, I dedicate it to my Ishta Devata or Lord in any form, and the excellence becomes an integral part of Karma Yoga in whatever action I do. So I tell the Lord, I want success, but I am not averse to failure. Failures are also very much possible. Since there is a possibility, I psychologically prepare myself. I want success, but I am not afraid of failure. With the grace of Lord, I can face and learn from failure. Right? So Prasada Bhavana and Ishwara Arpana Bhavana, right? Even in Samanya Karma Yoga, with this attitude, we can enjoy a stress-free life. And stress is directly proportional to our unpreparedness or unfavorable future, right? This is very important because many times we always feel that problems come only to us, right? We always feel that others do not have problems, we only have problems. Actually, if you see deeper, maybe we don't know what is on the other side. Maybe the person is facing greater problems, but is better equipped to face those kind of issues that we are not equipped to face, right? So, repeatedly, Krishna during the Karma Yoga sessions talks about being prepared to face the ups and downs or the batterings of the law of karma, right? Very, very important point. So, it is extremely relevant and practical application to our daily life. So, I often wonder why some people say Gita is not meant for youngsters, not meant for children, not meant for teenagers. There are a lot of people who have asked me when I started this journey early on, right? Quite early on, about maybe 15 plus years back, that why when you are having children who are going to school, you are in an organization, why are you going for Gita classes? nothing wrong. Gita is, I think, a very, very practical way of leading life. It has almost a solution to every problem that we see. Sometimes during Swamiji's class, we all believe, the students feel that, so we go with some question in our mind. We get an answer during the 1 hour. How does that happen? Because it is such a practical manual for applying to life, right? And Bhagavan has given us this, right? So, once I become a spiritual seeker, the advantage that happens is, first I start out only doing Samanya Karmani. Obviously, I don't understand Pancha Mahayajna. I don't have exposure to Gita. Nobody tells you these things. Okay, in some families, in childhood, they would have inculcated this. So, what happens is, we start out with Samanya Karmani, but with a reverential attitude. Slowly, we get exposed to the teaching, gradually. Then, I have to replace the Samanya Karma Yoga with Vishesha Karma Yoga, right? Now, what happens is, the proportion changes. As we get more and more satisfaction out of doing Vishesha Karma Yoga, our life balance becomes 75% of Vishesha Karma Yoga, 25% Samanya Yoga. Slowly, you tilt more towards it as we age also and our responsibilities also start coming down, right? Now, only thing is, if you come to this at the age of 70 or 75 or 80, there is nothing wrong, as Swamiji says. You still get benefit, but you may not have sharp enough, you know, sense organs to get by heart or to, you know, retain, then you should not feel that, oh, I missed out on the early years. That's the only difference. Any age is fine for Gita studies. And as Swamiji says and as Lord Krishna says, even little if you learn and if you chant, your Manushya Janma, the next Janma is assured, right? So, once I become a spiritual seeker, right, then I replace Samanya Karma Yoga with Vishesha Karma Yoga, and the Vedas say you have to do certain actions for accelerating your spiritual growth, right? In order to get the desire for moksha, and in order to accelerate that, we have to do more and more of Vishesha Karmani, right? So, it is therefore contribution and being aware of this Pancha Mahayajna, we have to do more of them. We have to perform them. That does not mean that we should not have an attitude early on. But we are just saying that if the initially we do not have this exposure, it is okay. But gradually we must develop the Ishwara Arpana Bhava and Prasada Bhavana along with while doing Pancha Mahayajna, right? And this is what Lord Krishna has introduced in these verses. So, seeing the principles once again. So, the first one was Karma Yogi is one who understands his responsibilities and focuses on what he has to do more than what he wants to do. Right? That was in verse 8. And verse 9 was convert work into a worship through Ishwararpana Bhavana and accept the results in the form of Ishwara Prasada Bhavana. And then the last one that we saw now is contribution to the world itself with an enlightened selfishness. Why? Because when we contribute, we are also going to receive at some point in time, right? I contribute, but later I myself will draw benefits from the world because the world will be in harmony, right? Very, very important three principles of Karma Yoga. Right? Now, I have to enter a new topic. What I will do is, I will only briefly introduce and then I will stop for questions. Okay? So, we will do this actually in the next class, but Krishna is going to now, in the next few verses, is going to talk about four different angles of Karma Yoga. Right? He is going to talk about Karma Yoga, first of all being Ishwara's commandment, Ishwara Agnya, right? Commandment, Ishwara Agnya. Then the second one is Yajna, right? Yajna itself, the second one. And the third one is Dharma Anushtanam. In order to maintain and follow the harmony and do the duties, etc., Dharma Anushtanam. And then The fourth one being yogaha, right, which is in the form of a discipline which is going to accelerate our growth towards the spirituality, spiritual growth. So we are actually going to be seeing karma yoga from all these four different angles in the next class. So I don't want to enter an absolutely new topic and then stop immediately. So what we will do is, I will stop here, I will complete the Shanti Patha, and then after that we can take questions. Okay. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Okay. Any questions? Srinaga, you are self-muted. Srinaga? Okay, maybe you don't have a question. Okay. Venkata Subramaniam? You are self-muted, Venkata Subramaniam. Venki?
Yes, ma'am. Very excellent class today. Thank you. On Shloka 3.9, what if a person who thinks he's doing a great job and offering it to God, but ends up doing a bad, and he or she doesn't know that it's bad? An example is, you know, somebody who does terrorist type of activities, they end up killing, and then they think it is good or offering. How can that be a good karma?
Okay. Unfortunately, until they come together with somebody who can, you know, expose them to these teachings, like it could even be a neighbor or it could be a co-passenger, right, somewhere, who is able to influence this person's thoughts a little bit, they will not have this exposure. So, as you know, Swamiji always speaks about this, saying that it requires a lot of punyam also to get exposed to this teaching at the right time. So, sometimes it may not happen. That particular janma will be like that only. So, the terrorists or people like that will have to continue on that path and complete this janma only that way. If there is some little bit of punyam, they will come in contact with the right kind of person at the right time and they will change. Now you can see some examples even in our scriptures, right? Robbers turning great kavis, etc. Right? We've seen that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Venkata Subramaniam? Srinaga, I think you're also self-muted. Okay, now let me just pick the question. If you can, ma'am, give us reference to all the beautiful shlokas. Sure, I can put it up for you. I will add that into the slides itself and I will put it in. Actually, they should be there in my introduction to Vedanta slide. The reason why I didn't put it up separately was because I'd already covered them there. But I will definitely add them. I have those with me. I will do that. Yeah, ma'am, can you please clarify the definition of samsara? Okay. I think you will have to go through a particular session that I have you know, covered in Introduction to Vedanta, because it's not very easy to explain in one line like this, right? All the problems of human life that we face, right? Basically, anything that we do, we are not able to influence the outcome. So this why me question, why does it always happen to me, or why am I not able to do something, or I get something but you know the result disappears in no time and then I'm feeling very sad that it has gone away. All these issues that we see with human life is samsara, right? Our violent reactions to emotional impacts that we have because of not feeling satisfied with something, all of them come under samsara, right? Yeah, can you briefly explain that folk song? That is exactly what I explained, which I talked about that pot being kept on the head and the person was dancing and then he danced and he broke it, right? So that is the literal meaning of the shloka, the folk song. But the deeper meaning is what I explained to you, which is very, very profound. Right? Yeah, one second. I think there are more questions here. Okay. Yeah, the Venki, I think your question also read as, what if a person does a bad karma but does not know it is bad, but still offers to God, then how can it be good? When the person offers to God, his intention, at least from that way, offering to God, Ishwara Arpana Bhava at least is there. But he will know over a period of time what he is doing is bad, because he is doing that good deed of offering. There will be a time at which he will come in contact with some satsanga, with others, neighbors, and then he will change slowly. What is the difference between action, actionless, and inaction? Right? Yeah. Actually, when you read the meaning in the verse, it doesn't make as much sense as I explained. So I think it is better for you to go through the explanation that I gave than the direct English word, because English doesn't communicate that well. Right? Inaction is basically not doing anything. I talked about in the last class about how, because of sattva, rajo and tamo guna, a human being can never be without doing any action. Right? Okay, I am not able to unmute, ma'am. I have a couple of questions. Binu, one second. Binu, you can go ahead. One second. I don't know why this happens. Yeah, Binu, you are unmuted. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, ma'am. Namaste, ma'am.
Namaste.
I learned about that Pancha Mahayana, and it was very much helpful to me. What I was thinking is, Manishya, yeah, is more important as the young generation says, and we don't need to go to a worship or temple. So that is very much, it is very much helpful. And one request, ma'am. In the Bhuvayajna and Brahmayajna, you shared some shlokas. Can you share that one? Means about that Ganga, Purna, Nadi.
Sure. I'll do that.
Okay. Then that is about the 3-8 I understand today. Then in 3-9 we discussed about the Nishkama Karma or Nishkama Prarthana. So in a modern world, means when I am working in office or something like that, when I am doing my duty, means I have a specific goal. How exactly I can implement that Nishkama Karma? Means I should have something in my mind. Okay, if I do this, I will get. I have to achieve this. Means I will have a specific goal. So how do we detach from that karma bhala? Can you just explain that aspect?
Sure.
Yeah.
I will just repeat that question for my students here.
Yeah.
The question is that when you talk of Nishkama karma and Nishkama phala, How do you reconcile this when you are involved in Samanya Karmani, that is your day-to-day work life, because in your work life or in your job, you will always have goals and objectives that you have to accomplish, right?
Yes.
This
yes.
is a perfectly valid question and I think very, very appropriate. Now, let me answer it in two portions. The first is, let's come to Vishesha Karmani, which is the Panchamaha Yajna that we are doing. There it is very clear. We do everything, but we are very, the attitude or the bhavana has to be very clearly Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu, because it is very much under our control. Now let's come to Samanya Karmani, which is our normal work life, right?
Yes.
Two things. First of all, ethically, morally, let us try and be right at all times. I am not saying that it is possible to do it all times, because I have also gone through an organizational, you know, that so many years of experience. It's very, very difficult, but try and uphold it. And if there is a situation where you will not be able to do it, see if you can look for a rotation, a job change or a role change and move on. That is one. Second is, this is on ethics and, you know, moral values, because you will start having a conflict. We will speak about Arjavam, I think, in the 14th chapter or something. That time you will have a conflict if you cannot follow values. So slowly we have to inculcate this. Now let's come back to our normal goals and objectives. What the Shastra says, there is nothing wrong in going after materialistic pursuits, which include goals and objectives in our work life.
Only thing
is, always remember that you can plan to the best extent possible. You can put in all your effort with sincerity, with all your team members and do, yet there can be a failure. That is the attitude that God is trying to advise us and inculcate in us. That is very useful and a very, very practical way of dealing with problems even in the company. I have found this to be very useful, because when I'm working on the project, when I'm planning, right, I give my best, all out, 200%, I do that. But always expect that the results need not be totally as you planned, right?
Okay.
That's the only thing that God
thank
is
you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that guidance. Thank you.
Welcome. I think Srinaga is not there, so. Okay, this is about Pitri Yajna. Is it acceptable in our Shastras for my daughters to perform our last rituals? Even in the last class I said that it's fine. Actually the Smriti, if you see Manu Smriti, gives an order of 40 or 50 people. So it can be done, not a problem, right? But this doesn't come under Vedanta, it comes under Veda Purva Bhaga, right? And the rituals comes under that. I'm very happy to do all Panchamaha Yajnas. My doubt is, if we are taking good care of our parents, should we really do Shraddha, etc.? Yes. Not doing a Shraddha is a sin and it will attract Pratyavaya Papam. That is what our scriptures say. So if we have belief in our scriptures, the answer is that yes, you have to look after parents and you have to do Shraddham, Tarpanam, etc. This is what our Shastras say. Right? Then, one second. When the departed soul goes and takes a new body, why Pitri Yajna is done and to whom it goes? This is exactly what I spoke about, because everybody has this doubt, and that is why I spoke about Agni being the courier, and there is a kind of a relief fund from where it gets distributed. This is exactly what the Shastras talk about, the way the Purva Bhaga talks about. Remember that once you have got liberated and you are a Jeevan Mukta, none of this applies. We are not speaking about a person who is a Jeevan Mukta, right? Or a Brahmanishtha Jnani. We are speaking about a normal Grihastha. A normal Grihastha needs to do Pitru Yajna for sure, right? In whatever form they are supposed to do as per their ashrama and their varna. There is no strict, you know, which ritual should be done, etc. But however, it has to be done, and the Shastras say that Agni as the courier, Devata, will carry the results to the appropriate people through an appropriate way. This is what Veda Purva Bhaga talks about. Yeah, the two shlokas I will update into the main slides itself so that all of you can benefit from that. I think the questions are over. Nice questions. And thank you very much. We will meet next class. Okay, next week. Thank you. Hari Om.